Welcome everybody into the Benchwarmers Redemption. My name is Sebastian Merrick, and this will be our final show of 2019. So before we get going, I want to wish everyone a happy holidays and an even better new year as we come down the stretch of football season. We're definitely something we're going to miss here talking about the Benchwarmers Redemption, but obviously holiday season's great, New Year's great, but also playoff football is even better than both those. So just want to wish every family out there a happy holidays and a happy new year. All right, let's get started with what occurred Thursday night in Baltimore. The local Baltimore Ravens absolutely destroyed the Jets, continuing on their roll 42-21. Lamar Jackson set a single-season quarterback record with 1,103 rushing yards this season, passing the record held by Michael Vick. And the Ravens just keep on rolling. They go to 12-2. One more win for them, they will clinch home field advantage throughout the AFC playoffs. And in my opinion, they're going to keep on rolling. They have shown that they are capable of beating everyone. Lamar continues to just break defenders' ankles left and right. He leads the NFL, obviously, in passing touchdowns. I still don't believe he's the MVP, but he is phenomenal. He has played absolutely phenomenal, no doubt about it. I recognize he will probably get the MVP, and I can't hate on that because he is deserving of it as well. I just think Russell Wilson's a little more deserving of it. But the Ravens are playing absolutely phenomenal football. They can beat you in any way that they possess. Their defense is playing much better as of late. Marcus Peters has been such a huge addition for those Baltimore Ravens. Mark Ingram, a dynamic, powerful running back to go with Lamar Jackson. And the Ravens, they are going to be the team to beat in the playoffs. They are going to be the team to beat for sure. All the pressure is on Baltimore. They are the favorites in whatever betting website you want to go look at. They are going to be the favorites to take home the Lombardi Trophy. I think they won't hoist it, but if they do, I would not be surprised. Give Baltimore credit. They're playing absolutely phenomenal since that week 4 loss versus the Browns. Still can't believe how they lost that game. Really, I mean, if you look how the season unfolded, how they lose to the Browns. But every team has one of those games. They'll have the opportunity to avenge that loss in Cleveland their next game when they travel to take on the Browns. For the Jets, same old for New York. They dropped a 5-9 on the year. Sam Darnold and Adam Gase gets into it at the end with David Fales, the backup quarterback, looking absolutely horrified at what is going on between Sam Darnold and Adam Gase. But the dynamic, it's just not working for the Jets. You have to wonder, did Chris Johnson make a mistake publicly coming out saying Gase would return? Because the dynamic, it just doesn't look well. It doesn't look well at all. You got to worry about Darnold with Adam Gase. It's not looking well at all for the Jets. Their offense is just not clicked. They don't use Le'Veon Bell. It's rough. It's rough in New York right now. And the questions about Sam Darnold continue to linger. As most of our viewers know, Sam Darnold was my number one quarterback coming out of that draft class. And it kind of shows you, if you look at the quarterbacks that have succeeded, they're with stable organizations. Whereas the quarterbacks that have not, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, and Josh Rosen, are with lousy organizations. So you gotta, structure matters. You gotta realize that. Structure matters in the National Football League. You got to have a great system around you. Josh Allen does. Lamar Jackson does. Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield do not. All right, off to Carolina, where the Seattle Seahawks absolutely dominated for the first three quarters. And then the Carolina Panthers made a late run at it, trying to stun those Seahawks. But they came up a little short. Seattle wins 30-24, and they have clinched a playoff spot in the NFC. A big win for Seattle. With San Francisco's loss, they regain control now of the NFC West, even though they had it, but they would have had the win. Obviously, they still do. But nonetheless, it is a big win for the Seattle Seahawks in a game that they almost blew. They tried hard not to blow that thing. Kyle Allen did not play well for the Panthers at all, adding another three interceptions to his tally, landing him a spot next to Perry Fuel on the Carolina Panthers bench next week when they travel to take on the Indianapolis Colts. Will Greer out of West Virginia, Matt Trudell's favorite, will start for the Carolina Panthers week 16. We'll kind of get his audition to see if he is the future at quarterback for the Carolina Panthers. It has shown that Kyle Allen obviously is not. He had a nice hot stretch, but boy, has he cooled off as of late. He has struggled mightily. Three picks, like I said, had a fumble. They didn't lose it, but it's just rough. You could just tell that the Kyle Allen experiment, it wasn't working. It ran its course. Now, will Greer add another dynamic to that Panther offense? I think he can, just by default, because Kyle Allen's been so bad. He's been really, really bad as of late. And you got McCaffrey there already. He continues to be absolutely amazing. You have some receiving weapons as well. DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, I like a lot. McCaffrey, obviously, out of the backfield, is pretty much a wide receiver. So they have weapons on offense, but it's just putting them together. Disappointing season for Carolina. They ran their record up to 5-3 and have lost six straight to put them at 5-9. And it will be interesting to see who will be the next head coach there in Charlotte, North Carolina. For Seattle, they continue their winning ways. Russell Wilson is my MVP. I think if he beats the 49ers, on their final regular season game of the season, I don't see how you give it to anyone else other than Russell Wilson. I just don't see it. He's just been that good. He also has to do it all by himself. Lamar Jackson really doesn't have to do it all by himself. And Russell Wilson, you could just tell the impact he has on his football team. And Lamar Jackson, no doubt, has a tremendous impact on the Baltimore Ravens. But Russell Wilson just brings that X factor. It just can't be described what he brings to the football field. And Russell Wilson, if he wins out, goes 13-3, that discussion for MVP becomes a very legit discussion, especially if the Ravens somehow stumble down the stretch. All right, off to Spygate 2.0, where the Patriots beat the Bengals 34-13. The Patriots clinched their 11th straight playoff appearance. Obviously, that is not the story of that game. The story is Spygate 2.0. The Patriots had a videographer capturing footage of the Bengals sideline, and obviously that is against the rules. The Bengals security caught it, alerted the NFL, and now you have this scandal. Now, do I think this footage had any impact in this game? No, absolutely not. But optics-wise, it is a horrible look. A horrible look that definitely needs to be investigated immediately. Now, if football operations were involved in potentially asking for the sideline to be recorded, then you got a problem. You got a big, big problem, especially with Bill Belichick's history of cheating. You have a problem that might not even be resolvable. It would be a serious issue that would have to be punished severely. Now, if football operations was not involved in this, then the punishment obviously becomes less severe. But regardless, the Patriots need to be punished for this. It's mind-blowing that they even tried it. It really is just mind-blowing. It makes no sense. It really makes no sense at all. And you just gotta laugh sometimes. It's stunning. It really is just stunning how they could try something like that when they've been caught before. Wow. It really is shocking. So the Patriots need to be punished. Now, if football operations was involved, oh boy, does the punishment need to be severe. You're talking about another loss of a first-round pick if that's the case. Because that is not good. Not a good look. And it will always taint the Patriots' success just a little. Not 100%, but a little. The cheating. It will always be a part. And that's got to drive Bill Belichick nuts, especially if he had nothing to do with this incident. In terms of the game that was being played, Stephon Gilmore, another two interceptions. He is the best cornerback in football. It is not even close. He has taken his game to a whole nother level since he joined the New England Patriots. Sorry, Tre'Davious White. I love you too. Jalen Ramsey as well. But Stephon Gilmore is the best cornerback in the National Football League. The Bengals are one loss away from winning the Joe Burrow sweepstakes, as they are 1-13. They continue to find ways to be the Bengals. And they have a fun one versus Miami. I cannot wait to see that game. Just for the laughs. All right, to a game that really didn't matter in Detroit. The Buccaneers win 38-17. Jameis Winston, 30 passing touchdowns this season, tying a single-season Tampa Bay Buccaneers record. Congrats to Jameis. Obviously, the picks are the story. He's got to cut them down. If Jameis Winston can cut down the picks, he's an amazing quarterback. The problem is he doesn't. So, I still don't know if I'd pay him. It's there. The talent is there. But if Bruce Arians can't get it out, there isn't anybody that can get it out. But he has been playing better as of late. Now, part of that has to do with playing the Detroit Lions, who, as you recalled here on the show before, we predicted they would not win another game about 4 weeks ago. Oh boy, Detroit, you have not let us down. They are a horrible football team. And what's even better is, for Detroit fans, Martha Ford, the owner that Detroit fans absolutely love, complete sarcasm, announced that the Detroit Lions will retain, not fire, retain Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn. Oh, man. Detroit. Ugh. Oh, man. Wow. I guess they just like mediocrity. Cleveland and Detroit, they're like brothers. They are brothers. They just love mediocrity. They love mediocrity. There is no reason to bring back Matt Patricia. None. He has a horrible record. He's 9-20-1 as Lions coach. But we're going to bring him back for a third year after Jim Caldwell went 9-7. By the way, fired him after going 9-7. Bob Quinn should be gone too. It's mind-blowing that they're getting another year. You talk about the fours. Well, expectation is we need to make a playoff push. Not necessarily make the playoffs, but compete for the playoffs. Let me give you a message, Martha Ford. Ain't happening. Ain't happening. You ain't competing for no playoffs. Not with Matt Patricia, not with Bob Quinn, you ain't. Hell no. Sorry for my language, but hell no. That ain't happening. I feel sorry for Lions fans. I really do. Because it shows a lack of ambition. Matt Patricia is a defensive coach. His defenses get shelled game after game. It is rough in Detroit. It is real rough in Detroit. 3-10-1. They have the Broncos and the Packers. They will lose both those games. They'll be 3-12-1. It probably will get the third pick because I'm predicting that the Dolphins will beat the Bengals and obviously the Giants and Redskins. Someone has to lose, so that loser gets pick number two. So that will leave Detroit with number three. It is rough in Detroit. It seemed a long time ago since they were 2-0-1. What a long time ago that was. It is bad. It is bad in Detroit. Real bad. And I bet you they're thankful now that the referees screwed up that Monday night game because that would damage their draft position. Rough times in Detroit. Not so rough in Tampa Bay. The Buccaneers have won four straight. Bruce Arians continues to be Bruce Arians. Wins everywhere he goes. The Buccaneers. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 7-7. Now, I predicted them to win the NFC South. That is obviously not going to happen. But the Buccaneers have definitely exceeded the overall population's expectations. Maybe not mine, but your expectations, they have exceeded. And that is not a debate. All right, moving on to another NFC North, two NFC North teams, the Packers and the Bears. The Packers win 21-13, and the Packers clinch their playoff berth. The Chicago Bears, with a loss, are officially eliminated from playoff contention. The Bears have been extremely disappointing. There is no doubt about it. After going 4-6, the odds were insurmountable to make the playoffs. They had no margin for error. Their loss to Green Bay puts their nail in the coffin. Mitch Trubisky, they have a decision to make. Is Mitch Trubisky the guy going forward? I'm having my doubts about that. Matt Nagy, is he the coach to lead this team going forward? The initial reason I got on the Bears bandwagon to begin with was because of Matt Nagy. I'm having my doubts about Matt Nagy right now. Chuck Pagano has been a huge drop-off from Vic Fangio. And the Bears are 7-7. One of the biggest disappointments in the National Football League. For Green Bay, 11-3, they have the opportunity to clinch their division when they travel to Minnesota. Now, here's the deal for Green Bay. Do I think they have a chance to win the whole thing? The answer is no. Now, do they, and I'm talking about as a favorite. Obviously, they have a chance. But I think there are three NFC teams better than them. I think Seattle is better than them. I think San Francisco is better than them. I think New Orleans is better than them. I think they just continue to kind of get away with things in a way. They've played some rough football as of late. They continue to get away with things that I think when playoff time comes around, it's going to come back and bite them. I really do. I think they're just there's something a little off with Green Bay. I can't pinpoint what, but they play their opponents super close every game. Every single game. No matter good or bad. Especially bad. I mean, you only beat the Redskins by five. that'd be a loss to most other teams in this league. So the Bears, not necessarily a playoff team. So the Packers got to get their thing going. They got to get their thing going, pick it up, because you're entering the stretch where a bye would be extremely important for Green Bay. But they kind of got to get it together, because if they don't get that bye, I don't see them winning on the road. It's just going to be too difficult, in my opinion. Off to the battle in the snow, where the Kansas City Chiefs beat the Denver Broncos 23-3. The Chiefs win 10 or more games for the fifth consecutive season. That is a franchise record for Kansas City. They even look explosive in the snow. That's how good they are. That is how good the Kansas City Chiefs are. They look explosive in the snow against an elite defense. That is the Denver Broncos. Wow. Wow. People are sleeping on this Chiefs team. People are sleeping on the Kansas City Chiefs. I think the Chiefs have a real chance to go to the Super Bowl. I think they do. They have a real chance. They are not going to have any pressure on them. They are in the spot that I think is just beautiful, that most teams would love to be in. Now, obviously, you wish you could be number one overall seed, but in terms of the expectation level, they are in the perfect spot. Perfect spot. They are going to have no pressure on them. They're going to play with house money. All the pressure is in Baltimore and New England. They are going to be an extremely tough out for whoever they play in the playoffs. They have many ways they can beat you. And I just think they might get it done. I think they might get it done. And they might be playing in a Super Bowl. Now, for the Broncos, it's a game you kind of got to throw away. The weather obviously had a tremendous impact on Drew Lock and the offense. I'm not concerned about Drew Lock. I think he played well in the first two, versus the Chargers and versus the Texans. The snow game obviously is extremely difficult. So he will have the opportunity to bounce back versus Detroit, and I fully expect him to do so. Off to the Giants beating the Dolphins 36-20 in a game that was a pretty bad game. Didn't really matter. But Saquon Barkley for the New York Giants has 1,000 or more scrimmage yards in each of his first two seasons. He continues to be a beast. Eli Manning obviously is the story in this one, winning in potentially his final home start as the New York Giants quarterback. They have played well under Eli these past two games. They are playing good football at the wrong time. Don't you want to preserve that pick, New York Giants? I think you want to preserve that pick. It's going down the drain right now. They got Washington coming up. They beat Washington. They're at 4-11. And then you drop behind, obviously you're behind the Bengals and the Dolphins. You drop behind Washington. You drop behind Detroit. You're losing your opportunity, New York. You got the fifth pick just like that. Not a good situation. But in all seriousness, good win for the New York Giants. Miami, keep on tanking. Off to Pittsburgh. We're going to get into the AFC wild card now. The Bills beat the Steelers 17-10, and the Bills clinched their playoff berth. Congratulations to Buffalo on a 10-win season. Bills Mafia, an amazing fan base. Absolutely deserve it. I love seeing teams like the Buffalo Bills, who play their hearts out, who play good foundational football, get rewarded. They have been a phenomenal team, and I am happy they are going to the playoffs. I hope they do well. That is the team I will be rooting for in the playoffs. because my Brownies obviously will not be there. We will get into my Brownies in a moment. The Bills, they possess a threat. They possess a threat. They're not going to be a walkover, that's for sure. I think the Bills can win a playoff game. I really do. I really do. They have what it takes. Their defense is nasty. Josh Allen is playing great football right now. Those words would make Jimmy Steepman cringe. But he is playing good football right now. They went into an extremely hostile environment in Pittsburgh and beat them in a game Pittsburgh needed to have. So the Bills, they keep playing good football right now. They can keep it up. They're going to have the opportunity to knock off the AFC South champion, and I think they will, regardless of who wins that division. For Pittsburgh, tough loss. They still hold the sixth seed thanks to the Titans' loss. But they still control their own destiny. They went out there in. I think they likely will win out and get in because the Ravens will rest Lamar Jackson in week 17. All right. The other AFC wildcard game that mattered, well, the AFC South game, really. Texans and the Titans. The Texans win 24-21. Texans have now won 8 of 11 games versus the Titans in the Bill O'Brien era. Huge win for Houston. They can clinch the division with a win over Tampa Bay on Saturday. The Titans, it's not looking good right now for Tennessee. They have the Saints at home. Obviously, the Saints are a very good football team. And then they got to go to Houston. So, is this it for the Titans? Is this it? I'm going to say no. It's not it. I think they can fight, and I think they can stay alive. Now, for pick'ems this week, Saints-Titans is not a pick'em. So, I'm just going to give you what I think will happen. I think the Titans will beat the New Orleans Saints. I also think they will beat the Houston Texans and get in the playoffs. I also think, I'll give you a sneak peek of pick'ems, that they will win the AFC South because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will beat the Houston Texans and continue their phenomenal play as of late. For Houston, great win. I still have my doubts. I still have my doubts with the Houston Texans. I do not like their defense. I do not like their defense at all. And the bottom line is Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins going to carry them into the playoffs? I just don't think so. I just don't think so. I like the Titans. I think they play a nice style of football. I like what Arthur Smith, the Titans offensive coordinator, has done with Ryan Tannehill. And I think the Titans are going to get the job done, even though they lost at home. All right, off to our nation's capital, where the Eagles beat the Redskins 37-27 in a horrible football game for defenses. It's just a horrible, sloppy game in general. Eagles, they get the win, go to 500. Miles Sanders, 1,120 scrimmage yards this season. That is a Philadelphia Eagles rookie record. Not much to take away from this, in my opinion. Just not much to take away because you beat the Redskins. Not that impressive for me. And they just continue to beat up on the bad teams, if you think about it. They continue to beat up on the bad teams. Now, will they go to Dallas and beat, or pardon me, will they beat the Cowboys as they host them in Lincoln Financial Field? Apologize for that error. They will host the Cowboys. You will find that out in the Pick'em segment. For the Redskins, obviously, Urban Meyer was at the game, sparking up some rumors. Is he our next head coach of the Washington Redskins? Let me just stop that talk. No. No, he is not your next head coach. He was Terry McLaurin's guest, and he will not be coaching the Washington Redskins. I think he has no interest in coaching the Washington Redskins. I fully expect, based off Chris Mortensen's report on NFL Live on Monday, that Marvin Lewis will be the next head coach for the Washington Redskins. And I feel extremely confident about that. And maybe Hugh Jackson might be your offensive coordinator. Oh, boy. You don't want that, Redskins fans. Don't want Hugh Jackson, I can tell you that. All right, speaking of Hugh Jackson, let's get to the Browns. Let's just get this out of the way. Cardinals win 38-24. Kenyon Drake for the Cardinals, one of three players in the last five seasons with four or more rushing touchdowns. Kenyon Drake, the guy who didn't have four rushing touchdowns this whole entire season. All right, let's just... The Browns. Where to start? Seriously, where to start with the Cleveland Browns? Let's just start the top. Good teams have good foundations. Good teams have great cultures that are able to sustain the success that they have. Great cultures allow for great play, great collaboration among teammates, and more confidence in your players. Problem is, that is not what the Cleveland Browns have. It starts at the top. And I will go down the line. We'll start with the Haslams. The Haslams are the worst owners in the National Football League. I know the Snyders are bad. The Snyders have made the playoffs. The Haslams have not. The Haslams have lost 75% of their games when they took over the team in 2012. They've lost 75% of their games. 75%. 75% of games. So on average, that is a 4-12 season. They continue to be horrible owners. They don't spend money. They try to act like they are not incompetent by holding on to coaches now that are horrible coaches for too long. Which, by the way, also damages team success. The Haslams care more about profits than they do wins. The Haslams continue to be awful. And the Cleveland Browns will not win anything. I repeat, anything. As long as the Haslams continue to be the Haslams. I've went on this Haslam rant before. I'm not going to do it again. But it starts with them. Let's make our way down to Mr. John Dorsey. John Dorsey, I like the moves John Dorsey made, so I can't really criticize him that much. But one thing I think he learned, and one thing I learned really, even, because I like the moves he made. The only move I did not like, by the way, was the Olivier Vernon for Zeitler. But otherwise, I liked all the moves. He kind of built a fantasy football team. Acquired a lot of talent, but not a lot of symmetry. Not a lot of chemistry. And as a general manager, he should have probably known better. Now, luckily for me, my job is not to be the general manager of the Cleveland Browns. So, I can't get criticized in a way. I guess I can get criticized. I'm fine with that. You can criticize me all you want because I like the moves. But Dorsey, you're the general manager. You also hired the wrong head coach. That was another thing I did not like at the time. You hired the wrong head coach, Freddie Kitchens. Now, the reports out there are saying that the Haslams want to make a coaching change. And Dorsey does not. Let me tell you guys something. If John Dorsey doesn't want to make a coaching change, I got a solution. I got a perfect solution for all parties involved. For John Dorsey, for Freddie Kitchens, which I'll get into in a moment, and for the Haslams. Here's the solution. Dorsey, you can get fired too. Because Freddie Kitchens is an absolute disgrace. Now let me get into Freddie Kitchens. Freddie Kitchens is a horrible football coach as a head coach. He is a horrible head coach. You play one of the worst rushing defenses, Arizona Cardinals. They entering the game, they were 30th against the run. How many carries does Nick Chubb have in the first quarter? He has one. One carry. One carry for Nick Chubb in the first quarter. He continues to have Baker Mayfield just sling the ball left and right. Doesn't run the ball at all. I think Sunday was the first time they ran back-to-back times. Nick Chubb had 17 carries. Nick Chubb is the leading rusher in the National Football League. He had 17 carries. Kareem Hunt. Have you heard of Kareem Hunt before? He's really good. Guess how many carries Kareem Hunt had? Four. Four carries. Now, I know he had eight catches. Kareem Hunt had four carries. So you combine Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, they had 21 carries. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Now, who has been your most consistent receiver this year? Who hasn't been a problem, by the way, at all? His name happens to be Jarvis Landry. He's pretty good. He's pretty good, Jarvis Landry. That guy's pretty good. Jarvis Landry was not involved in the game plan at all. Odell Beckham. Pretty good. Have you heard of him? Pretty good. Hasn't gotten the ball that much. Now, he got eight catches on 13 targets. But he has not been involved. Let me get back to Nick Chubb. 16 carries versus Pittsburgh, 15 versus Cincinnati, who is the worst rushing defense in the National Football League, and 17 versus Arizona. I have a 10-year-old dog that could figure this thing out better than Freddie Kitchens. I really do. I really believe that. He is clueless. He is clueless. He has no idea what he's doing. He has no idea what he's doing at all. And I'm not going to get on a rant. I don't feel like going on an extremely rant where I raise my voice. Not good for me. I don't feel like doing that today. But the Cleveland Browns have underachieved because of Freddie Kitchens. And because of John Dorsey. And because of Jimmy Haslam. Freddie Kitchens has to go. And if Freddie Kitchens doesn't go, Odell Beckham will go. And Jarvis Landry will go. Make your pick, Browns. Do you want to have Freddie Kitchens? Or do you want to have Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry? The answer is pretty obvious to 95% of the public. The scary part is the 5% is probably where the Browns are going to side. But that would be so Browns. So Browns. All right. That was not good. That was a horrible game. Baker Mayfield, by the way, continues to regress. It's like his rookie year didn't even exist. He continues to just sail balls over receivers' heads. It is rough for Baker Mayfield. All right. Moving on to Oakland, where the Raiders below a lead in their final game at the Coliseum. They lose to the Jaguars 20-16. The Raiders have lost four straight games after starting the season 6-4. They are now 6-8 on the verge of playoff elimination. A heartbreaking way for the Raiders to go out of Oakland, losing a blown lead to a Jaguars team that has lost five straight games by more than 17 each game. A horrible way for the Raiders to lose. You kind of feel for those fans. Oakland, the Raiders just belong in Oakland. They do. And for them to go out like that sucks. It sucks. No doubt about it. And I feel sorry for the Raider fans that was your last home game in Oakland. For the Jags, good win. Great comeback win. Still expect Doug Marrone to get the pink slip and move on in the offseason. All right. Off to Jerry World, where the Cowboys, how about them Cowboys, beat the Rams 44-21 in a game that I don't think anyone saw coming. The Cowboys with their most points in a game since week 17 in 2014. The heat on Jason Garrett, it's a little off, not all the way off, obviously. Still a lot of heat on it, but a little, like 5% decrease. Obviously, they now go into their game versus Philly with the expectation of winning that game. What will happen in that game, I will preview in Pick'ems. For the Rams, I'm extremely disappointed. Extremely disappointed in the Los Angeles Rams. As you know, I predicted them to make the wild card, even when they were struggling, even when they dropped that tough one in Baltimore. I'm off the train. Their season is over. Their interior offensive line is awful. Awful. They can't protect Goff. Todd Gurley is just not the same guy. They got to stop playing Todd Gurley in back-to-back games. The arthritis in his knee, they just got to stop. They just got to stop it because he's not effective in back-to-back games. He needs his rest, and he's not getting it. And the Rams season, it is over. At 8-6, they are not going to go to the playoffs. That was a fair battle for them, but it is not going to happen. I am off the Los Angeles Rams train. Cowboys, good win. Get ready for that fun showdown in Philly. All right, to the upset of the week that happened in Santa Clara, California, where the Falcons beat the 49ers 29-22. Julio Jones for the Falcons, those Atlanta Falcons who have been playing better as of late, with the go-ahead 5-yard receiving touchdown with 2 seconds remaining on the clock. What a win for Atlanta. No one picked the Falcons to win this game. Huge win. They're playing better under Dan Quinn. Now, Dan Quinn might keep his job. He might keep his job all of a sudden. If they continue to play like this, he might keep that job. They're playing better football as of late. And a win at San Francisco. A win at New Orleans. They played the Seahawks a little competitive with Matt Schaub. Matt Schaub was the quarterback. Matt Schaub, like the Matt Schaub. And their final two games are the Jaguars at home and at the Buccaneers. Two games they could win. Two games they could theoretically win. They go 7-9? Decision time for Arthur Blank. You might have to keep Dan Quinn. And I would keep him. I would keep him. If they win those last two games, I think you got to keep him. Because he has proven he can be a good head coach. Now, I know they've regressed the last four seasons. But they're playing some good football. If they can keep this going over in the next year, they got an opportunity. They got an opportunity in Atlanta. For the 49ers, crushing loss, game they had to have. After a huge win in New Orleans, they take a huge step back. Kyle Shanahan obviously wanted that one, the Falcons being his former employers. Tough loss. Tough break for the 49ers. And they are now the fifth seed. So, they need that win versus Seattle. They don't get that win versus Seattle. They are going to have three road playoff games that they have to win in order to get to the Super Bowl. Unless the sixth seed somehow advances and then the fifth seed hosts, but that's unlikely. So, tough loss for the Niners, great win for the Falcons. Off to another California city, Los Angeles, where the Vikings absolutely dominated 39-10. Chargers with seven giveaways, most since week 15 in 1998. Yikes. It's over for Phillip Rivers. It's time to move on to another quarterback. And it hurts me to say that. I like Phillip Rivers. He's a good guy. But time is up. And it's just time to move on. Draft another quarterback. Have him sit behind Phil for another year. And then the Rivers era is over. The Vikings with the win. I think they are going to get that last playoff spot in the NFC. Huge win for Minnesota in a game, a road game that was really a home game, but that's always the case when you travel to play the Chargers. Big win for Minnesota. They are in the driver's seat for that last playoff spot. Monday Night Football. The Saints obliterate the Colts 34-7. Drew Brees is the story, obviously. 541 career passing touchdowns, passing Peyton Manning for the most in NFL history. Congratulations to Drew Brees. He is amazing, no doubt about it. Love watching Drew Brees play. The Saints are a phenomenal football team. A team that, even though I think we'll lose next week, I think they are the favorites to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. I really do believe that. They're playing great football at the right time. I think they'll have a little hiccup, but they will be just okay. Indianapolis at 6-8. They have been officially eliminated from playoff contention. Rough go for those Colts. Maybe next year for Indianapolis. Jacoby Brissett, will he be the quarterback of the future in Indianapolis? I say he is a nice stopgap, but no. So that is your football week 15 wrapped up. Get to some baseball real quick before we get into pick-ems. Anthony Rendon, he leaves the Nationals, goes to the Angels on a contract exactly like Strasburg. 7 years, $245 million. Great deal, in my opinion, for the Angels. However, Billy Epler continues to be Billy Epler. Where is the pitching? Where is the pitching, Billy? Have you seen the Angels' rotation? It's pretty bad. It's really, really bad. It's really, 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 really bad. It is horrible. Horrible. I think you might need to get some pitching. It wouldn't be a bad idea. It would not be a bad idea at all. Come on, Billy. Get some pitching. Porcello would have been perfect for the Angels. Rick Porcello. He signed with the Mets. He would have been perfect for the Angels. But they think they can hit their way, which is so Billy Epler. And then my Indians, what a horrible week for Ohio sports. What a horrible week. Trade Kluber for Emmanuel Clase and Delino DeShields. Ugh. Ugh. Huh. Rough. Just rough. It is rough. Corey Kluber, he won a Cy Young not that long ago. And he got traded for a reliever and a fourth outfielder. So disappointed. So disappointed. I kind of resigned to the fact that he had to go. But that's it? That's all we could get for Corey Kluber? Shame on the Indians. Shame on the Indians. Shame on them. Shame on them. They don't care about winning. Care about profits. That's the Dolans for you. Because I don't care what anyone says. You get a relief. Well, he had Class A has the 101 mile per hour cutter. I don't care. I don't care. I just don't care. Delino DeShields is a fourth outfielder. Period. He's no more than a fourth outfielder. Class A. Let's say he turns out to be even a closer. A really good closer. Really good closer. Really, really good starting pitcher. Who are you going to take? The really, really, really good ace starting pitcher. Duh. Frustrating. Absolutely frustrating. Horrible week for Cleveland. Horrible week for Ohio sports. I mean, Sunday was a nightmare. Ohio State basketball losing. Ugh. Ugh. The Browns lose to the... Ugh. What a horrible day. What a horrible day that was. All right, let's get into better things called pick-ems. Pick-ems. Last week, I want to apologize for my embarrassing showing at pick-ems. I went 5-5. That is obviously unacceptable. And I want to apologize for that. Usually, when I have a horrible week, I tend to bounce back. I'm 103-52 on the year, but 5-5 is never acceptable. And I promise to my viewers, I will bounce back. We're going to do 3 college games and 7 NFL as Bowl Week is getting underway. We'll start with SMU and FAU in my favorite bowl, the Boca Raton Bowl. And SMU, I think, will win against FAU. Boise State and Washington. I think Washington will upset Boise State. Now, I know Washington is the favorite. They have a 3.5-point line, but Boise State is ranked. But I think Washington will pull it out in the final game of Chris Peterson. Appalachian State taking on UAB. I think Appalachian State will win. They are ranked 20 in the country. They've had a great year. I think they will continue. NFL. Tampa Bay Buccaneers will beat the Houston Texans. They will beat the Houston Texans, like I said earlier. They will continue to stay on a roll. The New England Patriots will host the Buffalo Bills, and I think the Patriots will win. I think the Patriots will win that game fairly comfortably, 30-15. I think the 49ers will beat the Rams in Santa Clara. I think the Rams, that loss obviously will be the final nail in the coffin, and they will be eliminated from playoff contention. Switch to the Sunday games now. The Baltimore Ravens travel to Cleveland to take on my Browns. The Ravens will win 38-10 in an utter humiliation. The Cleveland Browns do not stand a chance against the Baltimore Ravens. The big game. Dallas Cowboys traveling to Philadelphia. Cowboys are going to win. I think the Cowboys are going to win. I think the Cowboys have the better team than Philadelphia. I think they're going to pull it out and clinch the NFC East title. Sunday Night Football, the Chiefs travel to Chicago. The Chiefs will win. The Bears have nothing to play for. Chiefs are playing for the opportunity to clinch that third seed, and I think they will do so. And then, last but not least, Monday night in another huge divisional game, the Green Bay Packers travel to Minnesota to take on the Vikings. I think the Packers will win fairly comfortably. All right, those are my pick-ems for the week. Now, this will be the final show of the year, as I stated, because Howard Community College will be on winter break. We will return to you on January 8th of 2020. So, I'm going to give you my predictions on what I think will happen for the NFL playoffs. I think the Vikings will get in as a 6th seed. I think the 49ers will win the NFC West and be the 1. I think the Saints will be the 2. I think the Packers will be the 3. I think the Cowboys will be the 4, the Seahawks the 5, the Vikings the 6th. in those playoff games, I think the Packers will beat the Vikings. And I think the 49ers, or not the 49ers, pardon me, the Seahawks will beat the Cowboys. AFC, Baltimore will be 1, New England 2, Kansas City 3, Tennessee 4, Buffalo 5, Pittsburgh 6. Tennessee will lose to Buffalo. Pittsburgh will lose to Kansas City. For college football, I think my Buckeyes will beat Clemson. I think LSU will beat Oklahoma. All right, we want to wish everybody here on the Bench Warmers Redemption a happy holidays. We can't make this show without you guys, so want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, a phenomenal holidays to everyone. And this has been the Bench Warmers Redemption. My name is Sebastian Merrick, and until next time, peace, stay safe, and remember to always love yourself.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.